Welcome to The Caring Generation, navigating life's transitions with dignity, clarity, and stability. I'm Pamela Wilson, the Care Navigator, spokesperson and guardian of The Caring Generation. If you're joining us for the first time, The Caring Generation focuses on the conversation of caring, giving us permission to talk about aging, the challenges of caregiving, and everything in between. Share our website, thecaringgeneration.com. Invite your family, friends, and loved ones to join us each week on Sunday from 10 to noon. We have a very special guest for you today. Her name is Lydia Brady. She's a woman who has done something that most people, even few men, have done. She has an uncommon hobby of climbing really big mountains. You're about to meet her. She is a mountaineer and a mountain guide. She lives in South New Zealand. She began climbing in 1976, and in 1988, she reached the summit of Mount Everest by way of the Southwest Ridge alone and without bottled oxygen. Lydia, thanks for allowing us to wake you up at 5:30 in the morning on Monday.
No, that's no problem. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
So you began climbing in 1976. How did you develop an interest, not just an interest, but what I call this overwhelming passion for climbing?
It developed because I was always incredibly bad at sports and really shy in sports and get nervous about sports days, like vomit with stress as a kid and try and avoid it and go away and read my books. And then my mother sent me on an outdoor instruction course in the school holidays, and it was tramping. What we call tramping, you call backpacking and hiking. And I kind of got hooked, and I got hooked on nature and being in the outdoors and sharing little adventures with people and the people themselves. So it started in that way, and the mountains just got taller and taller.
Mm-hmm. What type of physical training is required to be able to climb Mount Everest?
Let's start back. When I climbed it, there were mostly you go on expeditions to climb for yourself, and you went on commercially guided expeditions. And climbing, of course, without oxygen is quite different. So, you would, in summary, you would need the experience of climbing at altitude, and have climbed some other really big mountains in the world, and experience of climbing in the cold and on mixed terrain, which is like rock and snow. Mount Everest isn't hugely steep, although you could fall off and go a long way in some places, but you need the experience of looking after yourself, and you need to be acclimatized, and that takes a few weeks, and you need to be fit. Nowadays, if you were motivated to climb Mount Everest, but you could afford to go on a really good quality commercial expedition, you would need a lot of motivation, fitness, and a certain degree of competence, but nothing like when you're climbing on your own without oxygen.
Mm, I can't even imagine. Describe the schedule of the climb when you went. How many days did it take? How many times did you have to rest? And what was it like when you finally got to the top?
Okay, so I have climbed it twice because I climbed it a couple of years ago as one of probably the first women mountain guide to successfully climb it in the world. And but, of course, that's with oxygen with clients and ropes and things. So early on in 88... we would have taken about 6 weeks and have carried loads up to Camp 1 and Camp 2, which is 6,500 metres. Can't do it in feet, sorry. And then go down and then come up and sleep at Camp 2 and take something to Camp 3, what we call touching the height, and just leave it there and go back down to sleep at Camp 2 and go back down again. And you go up and up in a yo-yo. So generally an expedition like this takes about 6 weeks, counting, say, the 10 days of walking in, and then you walk out in about 4 days. Yes, it will take a week or two. Mm. That would be about the schedule.
And what do you take freeze-dried food? What are you eating and drinking when you're up there?
Well, really high. I didn't eat on my Everest, my oxygenless ascent, because you just can't digest it and you just don't feel hungry. And that's the big thing about altitude, is that you don't feel hungry and you don't want to drink. But lower down, you know, you can take, you sometimes freeze-dried food. That's not particularly pleasant, but you can take, you know, dried meats and cheese and crackers and noodles and rice and just kind of similar to what we take hiking.
But you probably have to eat 10 times as much, right?
No, you don't eat 10 times. You eat 10 times less.
Because of the oxygen. That's interesting.
It makes you feel pretty bad, actually, sometimes, until you get used to it.
I imagine. Well, and aren't there a lot of people that get altitude sickness from not having enough oxygen? Isn't there some kind of pulmonary embolism that people get?
Pulmonary edema, which is swelling in the brain, and then cerebral, I mean, sorry, in the lungs, water in the lungs, and cerebral edema, swelling in the brain or water in the brain. You can get either or, but you can get milder symptoms, of course, before you get those full-on ones. And some people don't. Some people don't even get an altitude headache. And some people get nausea. And some people go on and get even sicker and sicker and, of course, can't go to altitude. So you don't know, you know, some of the people in your rest homes might be really, really, really good at altitude. And you might be super fit yourself and not be able to get up very high.
And I feel the effects. Was there ever a time when you were climbing that you were in a situation and you had to make a decision and it's like, if I do this, you know, there's no going back?
Yes. I was in India. I thought about this question. I was in India in 1987 and my friend and I were traversing three peaks and we didn't know if we could get down off them except at the beginning and at the end. And we were hit by a big storm and we had to stay on a mountain for a day. It was on our day, fifth day. And then the sixth day, we had to descend the face of a mountain that we'd never seen before without a rope in a full-on storm with avalanches. And every minute felt like a James Bond day. And we survived. And some of it was just our motivation and our positivity and our acceptance of the responsibility that we took for getting there. You know, we weren't moaning and complaining, so we just had enough energy to survive and luck. And I think that gave me the confidence to climb Everest without oxygen, that I had the mental capacity to be motivated enough
to do that. Your website is lydiabrady.com, and there's some pretty amazing photos on there. Can you talk about your travels in Pakistan?
Oh, I was interested that you chose that. I think Pakistan is a fantastic place. And it's a really, it's sort of like a place of course, the tribal elements and the Taliban and the dark black beards and the fact that you don't see women in the countryside. But when you go to the north to the Hunza or when you're in Islamabad, you're just having enlightened conversations with men and women and people wearing normal clothes and men just, even traditionally dressed men in the north, will talk spontaneously about feminism and how they're daughters are going to go to university if they possibly can. So you sort of have these people, wonderful people, trapped with these other elements and, of course, poverty and stuff. But spectacular countryside as well, just dynamic and grand and scary and, yeah.
A little bit of everything. You are also an inspirational speaker, and obviously you've got the life experience to back all this up. What advice do you have to young women who have maybe a childhood dream of climbing Mount Everest or just doing something that not a lot of other people have done?
I think the one thing is don't be held back by the fact that you weren't good at sports. If you want to do something sporty or like climb Mount Everest, don't think that you have to be an athlete to start with. You can get there by small steps. The same if you wanted to be a writer. Doesn't matter if you can't write very well. It's just practice and it's just a belief in yourself. And a love of other people, of course.
Of course. Besides Mount Everest, what's the second most spectacular place you've ever visited?
Well, just recently, in February, I went to the Antarctic Peninsula. We sailed from the bottom of South America and that was absolutely amazing. Whales, you're sailing between mountains, ice cliffs that crashed off into the ocean, icebergs, and fantastic climbing.
How do you get there? Do you just hop a plane and go to Antarctica?
You can if you go to the central Antarctica, but to go to the Antarctic Peninsula, which is quite close to South America, you generally take a boat. And we motored across, but we had a little motor sailor, just 9 people on a boat, but lots of people go on big, you know, 200-person ships. Yeah.
So if people are interested in taking adventure travel, do you offer this? Can somebody go to your website and somehow sign up and go with you to Antarctica?
Oh, well, they go to my website and they contact me via email and I'd explain the different ways that they could go and what might be suitable for them. And if they wanted a guide, that would be fantastic. I'd love to be their guide.
Can you give information about your website and how to contact you?
I can. My website is www.lydiabrady.com, and that's Brady with an E-Y, like the Brady Bunch, but an E-Y.
Okay. Wonderful.
And if you just Googled my name, Lydia Brady, you would be able to find me as well. That would be the easiest thing for people from overseas.
Okay. And then people can also contact you to do motivational speaking events at their companies or at other...
Absolutely. Love doing that. I love giving it to, especially love speaking to women.
Wonderful.
But no, I love giving that kind of thing and sharing the fact that you don't have to be a super athlete to climb Mount Everest.
Lydia, I thank you so much for waking up so early on Monday morning your time and for joining us today. I really appreciate you. Have a happy post Mother's Day, I guess.
Oh, thank you very much. And I think your website and your radio station is fantastic as well. So congratulations and thank you very much for speaking to me.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm Pamela Wilson, the Care Navigator, spokesperson and guardian of the caring generation, navigating life's transitions with dignity, clarity, and stability. Visit thecaringgeneration.com to learn more about the caring generation. You can also access free information and articles on my newly updated website, thecarenavigator.com. Invite your out-of-town friends, family, and loved ones to listen each week by visiting khow.com and clicking on the Listen Live button. Stay with me. We'll be back.